Hi, I'm WFSU Morning Edition host Gina Jordan, and today we are speaking of help for the unhoused. Emerging leaders are working to change lives amid efforts to battle homelessness in the Big Bend.
They feel like nobody sees them, and I think that's what helps outreach be so successful, is because we're having those conversations. We see them on the street corners, but we go have those conversations, and they are still human beings, and we're going to treat them that way.
That was Leon County Deputy Paul Pacioli as he took part in the annual point in time count in late January. That's an effort to come as close as possible to an accurate count of people who are sleeping on the streets or in the woods in the cold. Pacioli says the city and county are in compliance with a new Florida law that bans sleeping on public property.
We offer services. We educate them about they can't sleep on county property and those things like that. We try to get them some help, or change the situation the best that we can in that moment.
And I'm joined now by WFSU reporter Margie Menzel. Margie, you were there for part of that point in time count, and this is a topic you've been covering for years.
About 15 years, Gina. And yes, I had the great privilege of going out to encampments with Paul Pacioli and some of the other host deputies. We know the numbers have increased based on the previous count. Nationwide, homelessness has gone up 18%. In Leon County, it's gone up 5%, just to put that in perspective.
Yeah. So we talk a lot about affordable housing and how huge that problem is, but we know there are many reasons why people are homeless.
And affordable housing is a good place to start, because Sonia Wilson, the CEO of the Kearney Center, which is our emergency homeless shelter, says that she's having more and more of an influx of older people who have lost their homes. Either they weren't paid for, or even if they were paid off, they couldn't continue to pay the taxes and the homeowner's insurance, which are really difficult for people on fixed income. So that's an important start. But we also know that there are lots of people who are struggling with substance abuse, mental illness, trauma.
Yeah. So the Big Bend has service agencies and resources for those in need. They always need more help. And now a potentially big change is coming, and it's a result of a grassroots effort by a local celebrity you spoke with recently.
Yeah, I was kind of fangirling all over Coach Sue in the interview. I was just sort of thrilled to be talking with our winningest women's basketball coach in the history of Florida State University, 470 wins. She just got a banner in her honor hauled up to the top of the Civic Center. So it's Coach Sue Semrel, and what she's doing is applying her skills as a coach to putting together all the different entities in the Big Bend who are working on homelessness, and she has a skill set that she is applying to this job.
Well, the way that I've looked at this was that it's three-pronged, so kind of like a stool. You need all three of the legs, and one of them is going to be your nonprofits. Those are the people that really are underappreciated, underpaid, but they really care and they provide. Then the second is the businesses. And the businesses, for the most part, are kind of mad. You're driving down property. You're making it so that people don't want to come into my business. You're sleeping on my doorstep. And then the third is the churches. And the churches, who are all these people who probably want to help, but don't know how. I think it's really important that ultimately those three come together as a team. The businesses would be someone that I'd want to educate, the community itself to educate. We actually have Gary Jordan, he's a marketing expert here in Tallahassee, that is going to donate some of his time to do a campaign to try to start that education process, to make sure that people get a different idea of what the Kearney Center is, because there has been a lot of cleanup, a lot of change. I never want to use the word eradicate homelessness, the term eradicate, because it's not going to happen. And people say, well, they want to be homeless and da, da, da. Some, that's what they know. That's what they're comfortable with. But there's a why behind the what's.
a lot of folks look at homeless people and say, that person is feral. That person is living in an encampment because they hate society or whatever it
right.
is.
Yeah.
But the host deputies are really seeing the humanity in folks.
And Coach Sue sees that too. Here's more of what she had to say.
And I just think about how important community is. And that's their community. And they know each other. They talk to each other. And it's just not that simple. Until we sit across a table and have a conversation, and then another conversation, and then another. And that's one of the most wonderful things that happens at Connections Church, is after the service, we just take the chairs, move them out of the way, bring in tables, and a meal is prepared and served to them. It's not a line where you go through and you have an opportunity to sit and have a conversation. There are some people that are just wanting to be warm and just wanting to sleep. And you start to see, I just don't think that that's their desired state. If there are some people that is their choice, I will honor that. But I really would like us as a community to honor the fact that that's not always the case. And I'm not all about government having to take care of everybody. We need to take care of everybody as our neighbors, as our unhoused neighbors. How does that happen? That's what I'm trying to learn.
So in your plans, you're going to be building the team very significantly.
I'm really, this is very different for me because I was very intentional in building teams. You know, you went after the players you wanted, and this is much more organic, much more fluid, rather than forcing something, allowing it. That's a shift that's happening in me internally that I feel so honored to be able to spend some time of my life doing this. I want to make sure the timing's right, but I also want to make sure that the infrastructure is in place. Brilliant professors at Florida State are coaching me as to how to operate in this space. They have a wonderful certificate program called Trauma-Informed Care. And we have donated that course to a number of different organizations for them to give to individuals that work there to take. You know, it's like, you can't just walk up to somebody and know what to say. I mean, you've got to understand that there is trauma that's behind it. And I need to be informed of what that looks like. So I don't want to be a bulldozer here. I just want to come in and do what I can to help.
So Margie, Coach Sue has big plans. She's assembled an impressive group so far, and she's still assembling that group. She's trying to move the needle on homelessness in Tallahassee. You also spoke with Leon County Commissioner Brian Welch about local government efforts in this regard.
He is very concerned about homelessness being a public safety issue in Leon County.
No one has malice towards the homeless population, whether we're talking about the lobbying firms downtown or businesses or realtors. What they're trying, though, to do is create an environment that is safe. And so the stories that I've heard from downtown businesses involve, you know, homeless people that are experiencing mental health crises, you know, assaulting their customers, threatening their employees, obviously sleeping and defecating in our public parks. And that's a significant problem. We can't just pretend that doesn't exist. That is a significant factor in trying to solve this problem. But I think that you have to look at it as a policymaker, not through the prism of the idea that it's a nuisance. You look at it through the prism of the reality that it is flatly unsafe, both for those people who are experiencing homelessness and for the community that encounters them. And so I think it just really requires honesty in your conversation. The realtor who complains about homeless people bringing down property values is not wrong. They are right. That does bring down property values. It does impact quality of life, and it certainly impacts public safety. But at the same time, we don't want people sleeping on benches and using the bathroom outside. And so we have an obligation as a government and as a community to do everything that we can to provide opportunities for those people to experience some level of normalcy.
Welch wants leaders to find solutions that will get folks into what he calls permanent supportive housing and off the streets. But he says there are those who he referred to as chronically homeless who don't want to receive services.
And so it becomes a struggle for local governments between the extent to which you can compel people to take and receive services versus their civil liberties to continue to refuse them. It has reared its ugly head multiple times over the last several years. Homeless people have been hit and killed in our roads, crossing our streets in the middle of the night or late in the evenings and can't be seen. And so that illustrates the problem, which is at what point do you have an obligation to protect people from themselves? If they are addicted to drugs and alcohol, if they're experiencing mental illness crisis, what ability do we have to intervene and say, we're not going to let you live like this? And so from my perspective as the county commissioner and the issues that I have pursued, they've largely been around this concept of adopting a minimum standard of living, you know, creating a line in the sand to which we say as policymakers, we love you too much to let you live like this, to let you live on the streets, to let you sleep on sidewalks and on curbs, to let you suffer through your mental illness while living in an unsafe environment.
So Gina, Welch says the county has taken steps to make a difference. That includes adding what are known as HOST deputies to the Leon County Sheriff's Office. HOST stands for Homeless Outreach Street Team.
We've spent, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on HOST deputies. We created a program with the HOST deputies through the Sheriff's Office. We had a discussion about adding a host deputy solely dedicated to female homelessness, our children and our female homeless population, because we really want to do everything we can to protect that population. You just got to keep providing opportunities. And that's what our host deputy program is designed to do. Build relationships, build trust, get out there. They know where these people are. They are aware of the issues for each individual specific situation, and we just trust that they have the resources they need to try and help folks.
Welch was very clear in saying that something needs to give somehow.
I would not allow my child to live in conditions like some of our homeless neighbors. I simply wouldn't allow it. Okay. Now, my child has civil liberties too once they become an adult, but I would compel them in every way possible to receive treatment, receive help, receive assistance, and get mainstreamed back into society. But these folks we're talking about often don't have those connections. They don't have the ability to do that. In fact, in many cases, they're not from here. They're from somewhere else and they're living here. And so it creates a problem for local governments to solve. And it's almost unsolvable, but we just have to chip away at it the best we can. And I think the host deputies are a step in the right direction. I think that the ordinance that we created last year, giving private sector businesses the ability to post signage on their properties to more easily trespass people that they don't want on their property that are causing problems, that are threatening their employees or threatening their customers. I think those are little steps in the right direction. Now, some people might think that's insensitive, but I don't think that's insensitive. I think that's responsible because at the end of the day, we're trying to compel people to receive a minimum standard of living that we ourselves would wish upon our children and our family and our friends.
One way local people are trying to help, you use the phrase emerging leadership, and that's what we're seeing. Two of those leaders are Rick Carney, who founded the Carney Emergency Shelter, and his son Scott, who is working on the app that Rick conceived. That app will connect homeless people with services. And Welch is a fan of Rick Carney for all of his efforts.
Even folks like Rick, who are dynamic philanthropists, still face trouble in trying to solve this problem. And so It's really not something that the government can completely solve. It's not something that philanthropists and the private sector can completely solve. At the end of the day, you just do the best you can to try and make the biggest impact that you can. And I think that's what we've been trying to do at the County Commission, and that's what we'll continue to do.
So, Margie, thank you for all that. This is very interesting. It's an interesting question of personal responsibility versus government help, especially when we know that many people living on the streets have a mental illness or they are addicted. Many of them need services.
And one way they can get services is with the development of the app that the Carneys have been beta testing right here in Tallahassee with the aid of Florida State University and people staying at the Carney Center itself. It's called Casey Chat. You can ask it questions at 3 a.m. It will help you make an appointment. It will help you understand a legal document. If you talk about how you're feeling to Casey Chat, you'll get something back. It's quite remarkable.
That's really cool. So Scott Carney, Rick Carney's son, works for a company that is developing the app. Is that right?
That's exactly right. His company is called Enable You, and its mission is to serve the underserved.
Great. Okay, here's Scott talking about how this was his dad's idea.
The idea was definitely his, but it was grown out of our mutual care for the community and for people who are experiencing challenges in their life. We saw the struggle of those who are experiencing these challenges and how they discover and access services, as well as their difficulty with continuity of services over time, or moving between services. And so after some reflection and discussion, as well as working with partners like FSU and the Carney Center, we saw how we could apply technology to drastically improve the way that these individuals connect with essential resources.
So Scott's dad, Rick, came up with the idea and invested in it, and they're working on it now with big plans for it.
We really want to have linkages with the community to where they're integral to the app so that it's all virtual and seamless to the client so that when they need mental health services, we are just a gateway into Appalachian Center for Human Services or whoever the mental health contract provider is in your area or any sort of food options that are in that community. Like there's bigger cities that actually have restaurants that have meals for the poor. That they just basically go on their app and order, you know, meatloaf and they pick it up for free. So we want to be able to provide all those kinds of options seamlessly with our local providers starting here in Tallahassee, Leon County, and then watch that thing just explode, you know, throughout the panhandle of Florida, all of Florida, the Southeast and beyond.
So, of course, there's a Florida State University connection, and it's not just Coach Sue's background in coaching basketball. Florida State is helping to beta test the app. And I had the great pleasure of meeting Dr. Heather Flynn of the FSU College of Medicine, who has been working off and on with Rick Carney, she says, at least 20 years, developing public-private partnerships. And so I talked with Dr. Flynn recently, and I got to ask her all kinds of questions that had been puzzling me throughout my reporting. In January, Lynn Hatter and I covered a fire at a homeless encampment off of Mahan Drive. And there were a number of shops in the area, and from our reporting, it seemed as if most of the shopkeepers had a benign, neighborly attitude towards the homeless encampment. But what they didn't understand was even if they were generous, a lot of what they would get back was garbage strewn across the parking lot, worse. So I had the opportunity to ask Dr. Flynn, how could people be working against their own best interests like that?
When you factor in a strong history of trauma, and especially if that trauma and mental health starts at a young age, it shapes the way that the brain develops, such that that part of your brain that can do decision-making and planning, like the executive secretary of the brain, it never develops fully. And so you might think, well, wouldn't it be logical if they want to stay here to clean up their garbage? But that requires the mental ability to think ahead to, I don't want this to happen later, so I'm going to do this now. we take for granted that that's something that's natural and logical, but folks who have had mental health issues and strong histories of trauma and substance use, that part of the brain is different. So there need to be what we refer to as trauma-informed ways to interface with folks who have struggles based on histories of trauma.
So it's possible that there are people who just are never going to come in from the encampment. They're never going to want to achieve goals that we might want them
to. Well, I wouldn't say never. I would say it takes a lot of very strategic and targeted intervention and help to get them to the point where they can act in their own best interest.
Okay, so the phrase housing first, yes, is that true or not?
I think that there's a lot of evidence that housing first is vitally important. You know, it's very hard to engage with the rest of society if you don't have clean clothes or a place to bathe or a safe place where you're not getting traumatized or abused, your stuff being stolen, assaults. It's incredibly difficult to do anything else. We all feel like the base of the triangle is food, shelter, water, safety. It makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of evidence that housing first works. But I would say that it's incredibly difficult to function with untreated psychiatric disorders and substance use as well.
So better mental health care through this app could be revolutionary.
We strongly believe it could be revolutionary. Rick Carney likes to say the Amazon services for homelessness.
Okay, Margie, this has all been very interesting. And wrapping up this discussion, what would you like to leave us with as far as your coverage of issues surrounding homelessness?
Well, first, Gina, I would like to thank you so much for shining a light on this topic. It is so important. And the other thing I'd like to say is we just heard a lot of voices. We could have heard a lot more. And it's going to take many more voices in combating homelessness.
Yeah. WFSU reporter Margie Menzel, thank you for your excellent coverage of this critical topic.
Thank you, Gina.